We are live. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Event Hustler Show. My name is Liz Caruso, and I am the CEO of Liz King Events and Texie Talk, and love, love, love hosting the Event Hustler Show to chat with amazing event professionals. Today, I'm joined by Marco Gilberti, who is the author of Reinventing Live, and you have a long career in the events industry in different capacities, and I'm really excited to chat with you today, learn a little bit more about your career, and talk with you about the industry that is just constantly changing, constantly. So Marco, welcome. Thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you for having me.
So you and I were connected officially. I've seen you throughout the industry many, many times, and officially connected through Dalia Elgazar, who is rock star. She gets mentioned on pretty much every episode that we do because she just was on another episode. She knows everybody, and every time she connects me to someone, I just know it's going to be a good connection.
This is not going to be the exception.
It will not be. It will not. So she shared with me recently your new book, Reinventing Live. But before we dive into that, why don't you just tell anyone who's watching us live, and this will also be, of course, recorded, a little bit about you and kind of your history in the events industry and where you sit today.
Sure. My background, it's a combination between technology, media, and events. I started my career with Apple when I was very young. Part of my job was running events, and I immediately got in love with events. Don't ask me why, but by serendipity, like many of us, we start working on something, and after that, we connect with event, and you love it or hate it. In my case, I love it. And I also realized early on my career that I was not a corporate person. I was always dreaming with my own ventures and ideas, and I quit Apple. I joined a small B2B media company, and I launched an events business as part of that company. We spin off that business very early because we realized that the opportunity was pretty big. I started with technology shows coming from my geek roots, and I basically built a portfolio of events that at the end was around 70 plus events per year all over Latin America and here in US. I did a joint venture with Reed Exhibitions, who initially invested on a minority position. After that, they bought the whole company on a 12-year joint venture with them. And I learned a lot working with a big public event organizer like Reed, but also from an entrepreneurial perspective, building my own portfolio of events and growing that organically, and after that with a strategic partner. And I came back to technology on my early 40s after exiting the Reed joint venture, and I created Vesuvio Ventures as a way to justify the excuse on investing on technology areas that I was always frustrated as an event organizer or as a media person. And I started investing on technologies around marketing technology, B2B media technology, education technology. I did a lot of executive education in my previous life as an operator as well. And of course, live events technology. This was 10 years ago when events technology was not cool at all. Yeah. And as I said, I was pretty focused on identifying fantastic founders way smarter than me, building crazy stuff that should fix problems around our industry. And I did different sort of investments and advisory opportunities during the last decade. And also now I'm doing more M&A because there is a ton of consolidation around the industry, and I know buyers and sellers. And as you can see, I can think as an event organizer because I still invest on traditional events and organize events, but also as a tech person. And hopefully sometimes I help on translation between geeks and event organizers. And that's probably one of the potential added value that I could bring into these sort of opportunities.
Yeah, I think you and I would get along very well. You definitely have way more experience than I do, but just—
Well, that's the problem of being old.
No, not about being old. Just you worked with some amazing companies, which is really, really great. But having that skill set to talk about the technology and also understand what an event organizer needs. I just was talking to someone earlier today, and we were talking about how event organizers often can't even say what they need. And so it's so hard for the tech companies to build around that, especially those who don't as I'm sure you know, many, many event companies don't necessarily come from the events industry. They create a product and then they're like, oh, we could sell it to this billion-dollar industry over here.
Yes.
And so that role that you're playing is so needed.
Thank you. And yes, you're right. It's very easy for an event organizer to complain about technology. And it's very easy for a technology company to complain about event organizers as well. And that frustration is around the industry for a long, long time, at least two or three decades. And it's not productive because I think that both are right and wrong in some way. Sure. And both needs to be doing a conscious effort to understand the technology part of this and also understand the user interface and user experience from an organizer perspective. And I think that the last couple of years basically validated the idea that technology could and should be an important part of the events industry. And I believe I'm very optimistic about the future because I now see event organizers taking technology and innovation seriously. And I also see amazing technology founders creating very, very strong software for our industry, which is very important as well.
Yeah, it is a crazy time.
It is.
Even 10 years ago, there wasn't that much interest in event technology. When we started our Techsy Talk event that we do, it was about 10 years ago. And, you know, we were talking about like mobile apps and registration companies. It's nothing like the kinds of much more complex conversations we're having now about attendee engagement and your tech stack and all these things that people have come a long way. But a lot of that growth, I think, sadly, has been in the last 18 months and not 10 years ago when we should have been doing it, or 20 years ago.
Yes.
But what has it been like for you just over the past year and a half personally and then professionally watching all of these? I mean, now we're in this like complete M&A like crazy zone. Every time I look at the news, there's this company buying that company and these two are joining.
Yes.
What's happening?
Well, first, on a personal human basis, I was, of course, shocked to see what COVID was in the early days and concern about my family health, my personal health, and how the world is going to survive this crazy situation. I would say that the first 6 months was basically thinking, wow, I'm going to lose all my money invested in events and event technology because the industry is going to basically disappear. And after that, I remember initial conversations with founders, tech founders, and I was brainstorming with them, what if you move your existing software to a virtual opportunity and you help organizers to at least have some sort of interaction with their communities? And I started to realize that the smart founders, they were starting to grow like never before. Because all organizers, they were saying, you know what, now is the right time. I need to do something to survive. Mm-hmm. And I saw dramatic growth on some companies on my portfolio because they were able to help those customers on a very productive way. And those customers were ready for, you know, prime time in terms of engaging, taking risks, investing, rethinking. At that time, more or less, I think it was March 2020, I was in this house. I'm now based in Colorado for the summer. I'm based in Miami. That's my home, but I have a place here in Colorado. And I was skiing with Denzel, my co-author at Reinventing Life. And both of our wives called us the same day, and they told us, from different angles, the same message: what the hell are you doing, dear? Come back home. This is serious. And I remember having dinner with him, and I told him, look, I'm thinking to write a new book. I wrote a previous book in 2017 with Jay Weintraub, a good friend, partner, and co-investor. The name is The Face of Digital, and it was a book where we share our own ideas about how technology, the intersection between technology and events. It was a little bit more geeky book, more technical, talking about technology. And I told Denzel, look, I'm thinking to write a new book about how this industry should be reinventing themselves. And Denzel right away said, let's do it together. I have some ideas. I know Denzel for more than 20 years. He did due diligence on my company when Reed invested. And since then, we become friends. And I always admire his strategic thinking in the industry. Mm-hmm. And that's how Reinventing Life started. And we put a lot of time. For me, it was an excuse to reach out to old friends and very smart people around the industry and pick their brain about how this industry could and should be reinvented. And we published the book, I think, early this year. And of course, timing was pretty good. We were very lucky, and the book generated a lot of interest around the industry from big event organizers, associations, meeting planners, venues, investors. I don't know, we're getting feedback from marketing people, from corporate organizers. Corporate organizers were very, very engaged with our conversation. And as you know, they're very sophisticated. They're doing a fantastic job with their own events, which means we're lucky with timing. And as we said with the book, our goal is open a conversation. We don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what the hell is going to happen in the future. Yeah. I honestly think that nobody knows. And the conversation is becoming very, very interesting.
So what are some of your keys when you're thinking of reinventing live? And this is something, like you said, everyone, especially in January, started thinking about 2021. What is this year going to look like? Are we going back to in-person? What's this hybrid thing? What are some of the big things that you're focused on that you think planners should really be thinking about?
Look, a couple of the learnings from talking with smart people and researching the book is one of the first things that we learned during COVID is which specific things should be done face-to-face and which specific things could and should be done on a digital way. And that concept for the events industry is critical because we're all learning that many things could be done on a digital way and they're working fine, they're very efficient, and they're very attractive for the visitor, the buyer, the speaker, the exhibitor, the sponsor, the organizer.
Yeah.
But other things are almost impossible to replace with technology and needs to be done face-to-face. Understanding that concept is critical for the future of our events and our communities. And clever organizers and planners are rethinking their model and understanding that a part of their value proposition could be digital and is super scalable and efficient. And a part of their value proposition will continue to be face-to-face, but probably instead of a 20,000 people event in Vegas, it's going to be 3,000 people events in Vegas, Singapore, and Sao Paulo, because those communities are going to have a better return of their time and investment on those sort of different gatherings.
Yeah.
And that learning is becoming very fast during the last couple of years. And it's changing the business model and the value proposition of our industry quite dramatically. I also learn a lot about communities. And I keep saying for 10 years that events are not events. Events are communities. And if you're a good event organizer, you should think about yourself as a community catalyst, which is a concept that we put on the book very, very bold. We say, if you think that you're an event organizer, you're doing something wrong, you should be a community catalyst, and you should help that community to connect, to educate, to network, or to move into commerce. Depending, each community, as you know, is different.
Yeah, but, of course.
But the concept is an event for a couple of days is no longer enough. Your community should be alive all year long, and you should help that community to be more efficient. Yeah. And some communities are all around networking. Some communities, it's about commerce. Some communities, it's about education. Some communities, it's a combination of all those topics. But that concept became more and more clear talking with, as I said, very smart people around the industry. Another interesting learning is about this hybrid idea. Everyone's now hybrid is cool, but nobody knows what is hybrid.
Exactly.
And what we think is that we're going to be living on a hybrid world, and hybrid event is just going to be part of that. You know, remote work is changing the way that companies hire people and motivate employees. Telemedicine is changing the world that doctors interact with their patients. FinTech is changing the world that we interact with financial institutions. Why the hell events should be isolated from those sort of technologies and trends? And right now, events as an industry, and as you know, it's a multi-trillion dollars industry, it's no longer isolated from technology. And investors are realizing this. And because we see, because of that, we see billions of dollars coming into event technology startups and some crazy valuations.
Yeah.
But investors are not stupid. These are investors who invested in the most successful tech startups in the world, in Silicon Valley and in every single tech ecosystem. And they're thinking, this is a massive industry. It's pretty much old school yet. And technology should play a very important role. I want to be having some sort of participation on that opportunity.
Yeah. So one of the conversations I had recently with someone was that tech companies and tech people are kind of in their own bubble, and they're talking about technology, and they think the whole events industry is going this way. And event producers are in this other bubble. They just want to go back to in-person where they're comfortable. They don't want to talk about all this stuff. They'd rather just do what they were doing before. And it depends which bubble you're in, what conversation you're having. And I look at a lot of events that are coming back in 2021, the big events, they're returning to in-person. They look just like 2019 to me. And I keep saying this because it drives me crazy. But do you feel like some of these transitions you're talking about, do you feel like the planners, the industry is catching up fast enough? Are they getting these messages? I know obviously that's your mission, is to get this out and get people thinking in this direction. I'm a big believer, you know, evolve or die. If the organizations don't move towards hybrid, if they don't move towards these different content models, the human beings who attend will demand it, and it will put companies out of business if you just cannot
Yes.
get mind around something other than in person. But are we just going to be an industry that basically goes into extinction because we refuse to change, or do you see enough of that change happening?
Look, I was looking at a presentation that I did on the global conference for UFI. Are you familiar with the Global Association of Event Organizers? It's a very Yeah. well-known association for big event organizers and venues. I think that it was 2016 or 17. And one of the slides was about event organizers' position or mindset. It was a big picture and the phrase was denial. Event organizers are on a denial mode. They think mm-hmm. that technology will never affect our industry, and we will continue to, you know, enjoy double-digit growth events and fat margins, and life is beautiful. And I remember at that time talking with some CEOs of very large event organizers, and they were telling me, look, you're probably right, and I understand that now technology is your thing and you're no longer running
yeah.
events and P&L, but why the hell should I complicate my life with technology if my business is growing like hell? My investors are, or the analysts, if it's a public company, are happy with me. Why the hell should I complicate my life talking with these geeks? I don't understand yeah. their product, their software. And again, I'm growing like never before, which means life was beautiful in many ways for event organizers and planners for at least a couple of decades. And I understand that because I was one of them. I was enjoying that growth, and I sold my company at nice multiples because of that growth. And it's, as you know, it's a cash flow positive business with all the things that private equity loves. And I was telling them, if you don't do this now, you're not going to catch up. Look what happened on the media industry or other industries. And,
yeah.
you know, publications died because they were not ready for digital. And look what happened with COVID, basically. Events were not ready for digital. And this transition into virtual was bumpy and not good and no. difficult. And we all struggled to monetize and engage our audiences and keep those events. And I remember virtual events in March 2020, and they were depressing.
Yeah.
Now they're way better. The progress in 18 months was dramatic. But the industry was not ready for this. And it was because lack of investment and that denial mode that you said. Those
yeah.
two bubbles that you said are true. And both bubbles are bad, are wrong, because the tech guys should look the world from a broader angle and understand that some people don't speak their language. And the event organizers should get out of their comfort zone and engage technology if they want to survive, because our industry will, technology is eating the world. I don't know if you remember a famous phrase from Marc Andreessen, a very well-known venture capital investor. In 2011, he published a blog post saying software is eating the world. And a lot of people said, this guy is crazy. And he was absolutely right. Now software is eating every single industry and we're not isolated from that.
No, not at all. I wonder sometimes if it's enough, if people were scared enough, like you mentioned in the beginning of COVID, the 6 months or the first few months, I think we all felt very similar. How will we get through this? What will the world look like? What will events look like? Will my family survive? I mean, we went to some pretty dark places. You look 18 months later and life seems to be getting back to quote unquote normal a little bit, depending on where you are in the world, at least. And I think people have realized like, wow, we made it through. And I think it's just, it's almost like it wasn't enough time to really scare people into change.
Yeah, but I will challenge the idea that we're back to normal. I think that, and now it's the planning season for the big organizers and big associations and corporate organizers. And I talk with people about that, and I'm asking, if you're working with one of the big organizers, a public company or private equity company, you will need to plan the next 3 to 5 years ahead. And it's those budget meetings are not fun, believe me. I survived many of those. And they're never easy, but now it's almost impossible because nobody knows how that event will look in 3 or 5 years and how it's going to be the revenue split. And many questions are basically very difficult to answer. And what they're telling me is, look, there are some clear trends that we are starting to understand. Number one, 2021 Q4 events and 2022 events, they should be pretty good because there is an anxiety on coming back to face-to-face and jump on a plane and meet with people again. And that's why Vegas is exploding and many other cities are. I wasn't in airport this weekend and it looks like Thanksgiving. It was crazy busy and people are anxious to go back to face-to-face experiences. And this is including B2B events and trade shows, conferences, etc. Now, 2023 is going to be the interesting year because we're going to see a reset on budgets, allocation into live events after we are all excited to go back because those companies are going to go back to their office after the 2021 or 2022 event. And they're going to think, do I really need to do this again? Do I really need to send 25 people to this trade show in Vegas and put whatever, $500,000 on the booth, blah, 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 blah. Or I could probably do some virtual stuff, hybrid stuff, and skip 2 or 3 shows during the 2023 year. That's where the real conversation is going to happen. And those events who are ready to serve those customers on the right way are going to survive. And not only survive, they're going to grow like never before. Like crazy, but those events that are still on denial mode, they're probably going to have a hard time.
Yeah, I've been telling people to, planners in particular, to watch out for that feeling of we're going back to in-person and look, everybody loves it. Because that is, to your point, that's how it feels right now. See, everyone wanted to be in person. And that only reinforces the idea that that's what people want. But to your point, attendee, like human behavior has changed dramatically. What people will sit through, there's all these articles about going back to work, right? People being told to come back to the office. I saw an article last week about a woman who was asked to come into the office for a 7-minute meeting and she quit. She decided, I'm not interested. That's maybe a little dramatic, but we are seeing that you're making me go back too fast and full time. And what are you talking about? That to me is what's going to change in years. In 2 or 3 years, you will start to see people say, to your point, I don't need to go again. That was nice. It was good to be back. Now I have a lot of other things going on. I'd rather attend virtually, or I'd rather go to something else that's more.
But that's a great example. Good companies are going to be flexible with their employees and creative in order to retain talent.
Yes.
And if you work for a cool company, they're going to allow you to go to the office once a week or once a month. I was talking with a CEO the other day, and he told me my employees are going to come to the office once a quarter for meetings, but they can work in at the office if they want, because some people, they have small kids and they want to escape from them, or at their houses. And that company is going to retain talent. And some companies are going to have mandatory 9-to-5 office hours, and probably they're going to lose some talent. Events is going to be the same. If your event is rigid and it's not flexible and creative on the model, it's probably going to lose some customers.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next question I have for you, and we're coming up on time, which I hate, but we have about 5 minutes left. I do want to ask you a few more questions. One is, and this is kind of a selfish question, as you look to the future, whether it's 2022 or 2025 and beyond, what's a technology that you personally would just be very interested in putting your money towards, investing towards, helping them build out? What is something you think that this industry really needs as we look to the future? And I know that you are very aware of like where technology is and where it needs to go. So that's really what I'm asking. Like, where do you think the one thing you would put all your money on?
I was obsessed with some technologies 5 years ago, and I placed some bets on companies around matchmaking, for example, for B2B events, which I think there is a massive opportunity and problem. And I was lucky because those companies are doing a good job and growing like hell, because matchmaking for B2B events still is a very, very difficult technology. But right now you can use at least 3 or 4 solid players helping buyers and sellers to connect before, during, and after the event. That was one of my obsessions 5 years ago. More or less around the same time, I was also obsessed with AR, VR, because I think that AR, VR should help product demos and engagement on the floor, on the show. And I was totally wrong, because it took forever AR, VR to catch up with live events. And I'm still looking for the right deal, for the right technology for AR, VR on-site opportunities. I think that that's a category that I continue to pay attention. I believe that technology, as you mentioned before, because of this M&A, we're starting to see platforms that includes different features and software solutions as part of the platforms. If you see the Hopin or Bizabu of this world, they're acquiring a lot of features and growing their product stack on a very aggressive way. But I believe that we're going to continue to see niche technology created by founders who are building something that is very difficult to build, like matchmaking or AR, VR sort of solutions. And they're going to grow extremely fast. I'm also paying attention to venue-related technologies, because I think that venue will need to update their technology offering. Geolocation, indoor location is still a massive problem for events. I'm looking technologies for sports events or festival and music, which is very cool stuff that at some point will jump into B2B. I'm learning a lot from industries like gaming or esports. They're years ahead of us in terms of engagement with their audiences and their communities. If you see how, and again, I'm old, but I have kids, and I talk with my kids, and I see how they connect with the esports opportunity and how they interact with their friends when they're playing games. And that's an event experience, basically. And those guys are years ahead in terms of the B2B organizers, and we should pay attention and learn from them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point. Sometimes I watch my nephews are around teenager age, and I'm like confused how they're so interested in something. Yeah. But it's something I constantly force myself to try to understand and unpack. You know, what are these connection points that they feel so strongly? Because to your point, those are things we are not doing as well in the events industry with. And
yeah, that's one of the other learnings on doing research in the book. I keep saying this phrase about unlearn and learn again, which is not my phrase. It's a phrase from Yoda in Star Wars, training Luke Skywalker. He says, you have to unlearn and learn. That phrase is so relevant for our industry. If we keep doing the same stuff that we did for the last couple of decades, we're going to fail dramatically. We need to be humble and unlearn a lot of things and learn again, because we're living in a different world, and we need to adjust our business into the customer needs.
Yeah. Well, you've shared so many nuggets, very deep information. How would you like people to learn more about Reinventing Live and connect with you? Where do you want to send people?
We have a reinventinglive.com website with the book and some content information. Your audience can take a look on that for particularly for the book. I'm on Twitter at Marco Giberti and LinkedIn. Those are two easy places where people can connect with me and you know, take a look. I also have a personal blog, marcogiberti.com, where I put my own blog posts, but most of the stuff is also on LinkedIn as well. And I'm always open to talk with smart founders and smart people building the next generation of events, which is my passion.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time and all of your insights and not just for the book, but what you've shared today. It was really good getting the chance to just chat with you and get some insights from you.
Thank you for having me again.
Of course. All right. So we will be back. We're going to take a little summer break. So we'll be back in mid-August with the next episode of the Event Hustler Show live. But in the meantime, make sure you catch all of our past episodes, including this one, which will be available on our podcast and blog and all over social. So we will look forward to seeing you all very, very soon. Thank you again, Marco.
Thank you. Bye.